Today's sermon is called The Flight to Egypt. And the text for today is a wonderful account where God steps into his creation and he watches over and takes care of his children, ensuring that his plans will always succeed. In Matthew, just before our text for today, we have the Magi coming to see the newborn king. Herod found out about their quest and he summoned them. He asked them where they were going, when they had seen the star, and then he asked them to go find the child in Bethlehem, and then the Magi are to come back and tell Herod where they had found the child so that Herod could go and worship him. Well, the Magi found Mary and Jesus in a house in Bethlehem and worshiped him, giving him valuable gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God knew Herod's true intentions, and when the Magi left, God sent an angel to tell the Magi not to go back the way they had come. Some things to note about this story. First, the Magi find Mary and the child in a house. Now, Mary and Joseph are still in Bethlehem, but now they're in a house and not a stable. Jesus is called a child, and the Greek says, this is a small child. The word is different than what you would use for an infant. So some scholars feel that because of the time that it took the Magi to travel there, and some of the other verses later on, that Jesus may be as much as a year old. Note also that we find Mary and the child. There's no mention of Joseph. Well, that could be because Joseph is out working as a carpenter. And that brings us to today's text. But first, let me ask, how many of you have had premonitions? You know, dreams that later seem prophetic? I mean, okay, a few of you, good, okay. I don't feel so strange then because I know I have. Now, I don't know if they were given to me by an angel, but it's definitely a strange feeling to look back and wonder if your dreams were related to the events that later happened. I recently had one that, looking back, that I know could only have come from God. But there is the question, does God communicate through dreams? Well, we don't have to go very far into our text. In verse 13 we read, "Now when they," the Magi, "had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.'" So here we find what Herod is really interested in. Herod wants to kill Jesus and not worship him. God knew Herod's plan. Joseph had no idea, but God knew. And he sent an angel to tell Joseph in a dream that he needs to flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Note that the angel says, take the child and his mother, not your wife and child. Because although Joseph is being held responsible, Joseph is getting the dream. Joseph is told to flee to Egypt. He's being held responsible as the head of the household, but the point is that Jesus is the Son of God, not Joseph's son. But from this verse, we see that God protects those doing his will. And then Joseph woke Mary and she said, "Why, sure, Joseph, give me a little time so I can do my hair and put on my makeup, pack some things for the baby, and then we can go and say goodbye to our friends and relatives, stop at McDonald's, and then be on our way to Egypt." No, not at all, not at all. Verses 14 and 15 we read, "And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Now put yourself in their shoes and picture this. This is a tremendous act of faith. Remember, Joseph and Mary, you're in a house now. Joseph is a carpenter. He's probably got a client list. Maybe Mary is having play dates with the neighbors and their children. We don't know. But the point is that they're building a life in Bethlehem. But God told Joseph he had to go, and there were no discussions. There was no planning. There was no saying goodbye. God said go, and they were as good as already gone. That is faith. They recognized God's call, and they immediately responded. In 1 John 4:19, in the King James Version, it reads, "We love him because he first loved us." And so it is with faith. Our faith is a gift from God. We have faith because God has first been faithful to us. Doubts come from the adversary, but faith comes from God. We need to hold on and exercise that faith. That faith that has been given to us by God. And Joseph, God said, go, and Joseph said, we're out of here. But why Egypt? Well, Egypt is still a part of the Roman Empire, but it's outside of Herod's jurisdiction. Also, Matthew is pointing out that Jesus is satisfying Old Testament prophecy, some of which was originally directed toward Israel. In other words, Jesus is retracing some of the steps that the Israelites went through. But the advantages are that Egypt was close. There were communities of Jews in Egypt. And the treasures from the Magi that God arranged for would more than pay for their traveling and living expenses. Today, many people would call those very fortunate coincidences. Of course, we know better, right? But there is more to this. Remember that Jacob and all of his family found relief from the famine in Egypt. Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was sold to the travelers, and he was taken off to Egypt, and he becomes the second in command to Pharaoh, right? Well, during their 400 years in Egypt, the Israelites grew from a family of 66 to almost 2 million men, women, and children by the time of the Exodus. So just as Egypt was a sanctuary for Israel, so it is also a safe haven for Jesus. And as Matthew points out, the future return of Jesus from Egypt is a fulfillment of prophecy. But now, we come to the part of the story where we find out just who we're dealing with in Judea. Some of the things Herod had done was surprising, since we usually think of Herod as violent and treacherous. Herod means hero. Herod the Great, half Jewish, half Idumean. He was known for keeping order in the empire. He was also a great builder, having built Herod's temple. Right? This is the temple in Jerusalem that was later destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And Herod would share from his massive wealth with the Jews that were suffering from famine. But as he got older, Herod became paranoid and ruthless. History has quite a bit to say about Herod. He was so vicious and paranoid that there seemed to be almost no limits to what he would do to protect his crown. History says that he had 10 wives, one of whom he executed, and he had several sons, some of whom wanted to take over. He had his eldest son executed. Two other of his sons were strangled because he thought they were plotting against him. You know, Joseph may have known that Herod had become ruthless in his old age, but we know from history just how bad he had become. And God knew what Herod was planning, and God warned Joseph. Now, at this time, Herod was very ill, suffering from an incurable disease, and yet he is still willing to do anything to hold on to his kingdom. And so we read in verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. So this is one reason why some feel that Jesus was a small child rather than an infant. And another commentator says that Herod died about 5 days after this. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but it does show that desperate people do desperate things, and the more wicked they are, it just seems the more people suffer. Over 40 years ago, Sam Rayburn, then the Speaker of the House, said that we live in a time where the world situation is more grave than at any time since Christ came. Well, I'm sure if Congressman Rayburn were here today, he would agree that, well, things haven't gotten much better. And as children of God, we need to be ready to speak out against the wrong, to care for those in need, protect those who can't protect themselves. You see, we have hope. We have hope grounded in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came into this world as a child to give his life for the sins of all, so that all can be reconciled to God. As Paul says in Philippians, God gives us peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It makes people look at you and wonder, what do you have? Matthew tells us that this tragedy in Bethlehem was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:15 that was given over 600 years before Christ was born. This is another of the over 300 prophecies fulfilled in connection with Jesus that shows that he is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. A pastor related a cute story from a young boy having his tonsils taken out. The young boy said, "When I went into the big room, it was very bright, and there were two lady angels dressed in white. And then two men angels looked down my throat. And one said, 'God, look at that child's tonsils.' And then God looked and said, 'I'll take them out at once.'" Kind of a cute story of how children can so readily accept the presence of angels and communications with angels. Now we tend to lose that as we grow older. Remember that angels can come in all forms and shapes and sizes and can speak to us in many different ways. Actually, did you know that the word for angel appears more times in the Bible than the word for faith? We skip down to verses 19 to 21 and read, "But Herod died, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel." Well, this is the third of Joseph's dreams, and God is guiding Joseph once again, telling them to return to Israel now that it's safe. God is working in his creation to ensure the success of his plan. And as Matthew mentioned earlier, this return from Egypt is the fulfillment of Hosea 11:1, which reads, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Looking back, this refers to Israel. But looking forward, this refers to Jesus Christ. Matthew is emphasizing here that just as Israel is the people of God, Jesus is the Son of God and the fulfillment of prophecy. But there's trouble in Judea. Herod's son Archelaus is king, and it turns out that he is just as wicked and vicious as his father had become. And in our last two verses we read, "But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee," which is just north of Judea. "And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken to the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. So once again, God warns Joseph in a dream not to settle in Judea. And so they go on to Galilee and they settle in their hometown of Nazareth. Again, fulfilling what the prophets had said, that the Messiah would have humble beginnings. What a wonderful story this is. And from this we can say that Joseph must have been very devout. He must have been a man of prayer and meditation to have been so open to hearing the will of God and to have such great faith. We also should learn to spend time in silence in our own little quiet places, praying and communing with God so that we can draw closer to the Holy Spirit, so that we can draw closer to Christ, so that we can learn to discern God's will for our lives, just as Joseph had discerned in his. And what a beautiful story of salvation. God steps into his creation in a big way. First by coming into our world as the baby Jesus, and then by the Father stepping in and protecting those doing his work and ensuring that Satan has no chance of throwing a wrench into God's plans. Wow, such a story of suspense and intrigue. It would have made prime time today. So what does this story mean to us? Well, this is a terrific story of encouragement, of hope, of faith. It's a story of faith and should build our faith. Faith because wherever you are in life, God knows where you are. God knows what you're facing. And just like with Joseph, God knows the things that you will face that you don't even know about yet. Faith because the God that we worship is the living creator and has the power to enforce his plan. You may be facing a personal Herod, but just like Joseph, no matter how many Herods you face, God is with you. And as Paul says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Faith. Because God loves us so much that he came into this world as a baby to pay for our sins. Jesus came not to a hospital, not to a palace, but to a stable. He was not laid in a bassinet. He was laid in a feeding trough. He came not to a world of comfort and ease, but to a world of violence and pain and suffering. He was attended to not by doctors or midwives, but by two scared teenagers and some dirty old shepherds straight in from the fields. This story of God's working in the lives of the faithful should give us hope, give us faith, and strengthen our faith. And with this faith, we can have the courage so that whenever, wherever God calls us, you can go. You don't need to hesitate. You don't need to talk it over, to think about it. You don't need to plan. You simply just book the next flight to Egypt. Praise God for his love, his strength, and his guidance over our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your boundless love, and we praise you for your majesty, your wisdom, and your concern for your creation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that has come to every believer, and we ask that you teach us to become better stewards of the time you have given us. We ask that you teach us how to be quiet, to pray, and to listen to the leading of the Spirit so that we can do your will, so that we can learn to lean on you for guidance and strength, so that we can do the good works that you have planned for us to do. In the name of your precious Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.